Hello, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Bookshelves, a Scott County Public Library podcast. I'm Lucy.
And I'm Min Young.
And this week we are talking about the Kentucky Room, and we've got Julia with us this time.
Hey. Hello.
Hello there, Julia.
Yeah, so let's start off with just a little bit about you. So you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, how long you've been here, how you got involved with the Kentucky Room?
Sure. So I've been here for about 10 years. I started as a librarian assistant. Let me see. So I got started in the Kentucky Room really with a combination of things. Kathy, our assistant director, she needed help with digitization of several of our records. And at the same time, I was also working at the reference desk. And so the Kentucky Room is kind of where you do the deep dive research. Mm-hmm. we can't really do technically research, but it's where we can really look at the local records that we have and information. So I was really interested in learning how to better answer those reference questions.
Sure.
So that combination of things is what really got me started working in the Kentucky Room.
Yeah. And it is kind of like this isolated room that we have that, I mean, it feels important as soon as you walk in.
It does,
right?
Yeah.
Because it's like, it has its own door. It says Kentucky Room.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. Let's talk about what is in Kentucky Room. Can you briefly kind of go over things that's in there?
Yes. So we have a circulating collection as well as several reference materials. We try to focus specifically on Scott County, and then we expand out to the Bluegrass region, and then notable works for all of Kentucky. And sometimes we get really great donations, so of course we're going to add that in if we can. So folks are able to check out some of the materials from there, but most of it is reference materials. Local history, general Kentucky research that's really important, that can be found there. We have also our microfilm. Generally, folks are using that for newspaper research. We have our preservation station. We have our special collections, which is basically archive materials. We have our family files. So it's really helpful for genealogists. There are some also basic and I would say intermediate how-to genealogy materials that can be found in there. So it's a lot of things.
So out of all of those things, what would you say is the most utilized item or service or something that you can do?
I would say most people are interested in the Ann Bevins materials.
Sure.
Ann Bevins is a local historian. She tends to focus her work through buildings within Scott County, but it's like she tells the story of the people who lived in them, who owned them, or important people perhaps that were involved with them somehow. So she has five works that people are able to check out, and then also in our reference collection she has four volumes of Real Country and then an earlier work, The History of Scott County as Told by Selected Buildings. I think that's right. But we also have notes that she used to put the early works together, and you can basically find possibly more information about a specific property. So most of the time I get people in who are either really looking for those books and they want to read everything about it, or they are really trying to research their property or a property that for some reason they're fascinated by.
If I remember correctly, we had her here.
Yeah.
A few months ago.
Yeah, not
right?
too long ago.
To talk about.
Yes. We had her come in.
It was this summer.
I think it was this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And she was, it was talking about her new books and then also just a little bit about her life and how she got interested in it. So I think we also have an oral history about that, too, I believe. I know that she's been interviewed for our oral history group, but I'm not really sure exactly if we get into that for her, but I think that it would have to. I don't see how you could interview her without seeing her life and things like that.
So as you discussed just now, about oral history.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that since you brought that up.
Sure.
So let's talk about some of the things that we recorded over many years that we have archived.
Sure. So we have a partnership with the Louis B. Nunn Center. And basically, they're the repository for all of the oral histories, which is great for preservation purposes. And they've really helped kind of guide that program. I believe it's kind of an ethical responsibility, not just to collect oral histories, but also to make sure that they're accessible and accessible in the long term. So that's what I really appreciate about that partnership. But we've done quite a few. The first oral history collection that I worked on was the history of the Stamping Ground Tornado, which I still like to go back and revisit because I think that there's more to that story. But it was a really interesting event. And then we had another project that was, a lot of these are still ongoing, you know, because you find somebody who can tell you more. But we had another project that's devoted to Scott County veterans. I'm currently trying to interview farmers of Scott County or folks related to that field so I can get a better understanding of that sector of our community, which I think will be really fascinating. So far it has been. So yeah, I think it's really great. And the thing about oral history is it's helpful for filling in the gaps, things that are not in the written record necessarily. Yeah. And then at the same time, it's great for our genealogists who maybe 10, 20 years down the road, they get to hear a voice of a loved one who may have passed. So I enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's really, really nice.
Yeah.
Pivot just a little bit, because you mentioned there are many number of things can be found in the Kentucky Room.
Yeah, I'm sure I didn't mention everything.
Which is totally fine.
I couldn't possibly.
Yeah, it leaves a little mystery for people to come in and see what they can find. But you did mention the microfilm and preservation station.
Oh, sure, yeah. I didn't clarify what that was.
I'd like to know a little bit more about that, yeah.
So the preservation station is set up so that people are able to take their files, I know I keep saying that word, but and transfer them to a more modern file type. So what am I talking about? Basically, you can bring in a VHS that has your home videos, and you can transfer that and create an actual digitized file. You can also do the same thing with any like cassette tapes. We have the ability for you to scan photographs and slides. I think the slide portion is a little bit more interesting because a lot of folks, they have the ability to perhaps copy a photograph, but it is nice that you can change the quality, you can manipulate it. So those are the advantages of the preservation station. Now, it does have to be stuff that you own. It can't be your favorite VHS of Star Wars.
Right, right.
But
you cannot pirate here.
No, you cannot. But it is really helpful for folks who are wanting to hold on to those things. And I strongly encourage people, even if you don't come to us, to really consider that. You should look at important things, whether they're a physical object or they're a digital object, at least once every 10 years, which sounds really doable, but when you think about how much of that stuff you have,
comes up fast.
Yeah, it really does. Mm-hmm. But the more you look at that, you realize, oh, I'm having trouble opening this file. Maybe I should try to get this into one of the more standard file types. Like TIFF is a great way to save your photographs. That being said, it's a huge file size. It's hard to share. So those are just some considerations.
I think something else to consider is expect to spend some time if you're going to do this.
That's fair. Yes.
Carve out an afternoon. Like, yeah.
Yeah. With the VHS, it's real time. So however long your video is, it's going to take that long. And we do ask that you stay with the equipment. So I recommend bring something to read or explore the rest of the Kentucky Room.
Exactly.
But yeah, it will take time. And so, you know, you do want to consider what's really valuable to you. But
I want to touch one other thing while we're on this equipment stuff. So there is a program in Kentucky Room that is not accessible in our electronic resource.
Hmm.
the genealogy.
Oh, okay. Right? So are you thinking of ancestry?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So with ancestry, that's with our relationship with the Kentucky Virtual Library. But you have to be in the library.
Yeah.
So you don't technically have to be in the Kentucky room. You could go to the computer hub. I think you could even log into your own device. But most people prefer to log into Ancestry while they are in the Kentucky room because you can also use our other resources. Now, we do have a couple of databases on our microfilm computer that are, I believe, like death certificates, just lookups, not the actual certificates. I think we have some on microfilm. They help you look at births and deaths and, I believe, marriages. So it can be very helpful, but a lot of folks, they do find that information in other places. So it's kind of, I would recommend those databases as if you're having trouble finding something using a major resource such as Ancestry or Family Search.
Yeah. It's something that, you know, it's not listed on our website unless you go to Kentucky Room.
Know
that it's that we actually have that service.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that you know, obviously, I can access it from home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but it is here.
Yeah,
for them to use if they come to the library.
Yeah, it is. It is there for them to use.
Yeah. So we also mentioned a little earlier the special collections and the family files that are housed here.
Yeah, absolutely. Special collections, over the years, and this was before my time, the library had collected just important documents, you know, archival collections. It's really not a photograph collection. If you're looking for photographs of Scott County, go to the Scott County, Georgetown Scott County Museum. But if you are looking for perhaps a manuscript by Ann Kaufman, you know, those are going to be housed here. And so that's in our special collections. Family files are genealogies that have been donated by various patrons. They could be, you know, people who are professional genealogists or had professional genealogy work done. It could also be, you know, just somebody working on it. So you always have to take that kind of thing with a grain of salt. But it can really be a clue for a genealogist or a family researcher, just to see, okay, maybe I should go and look at these records. Oh, I hadn't thought about looking at that line for the answer to this question. So I look at those as more suggestions of where to go for research, but they can be extremely helpful. One thing I didn't mention, we did talk a little bit about the microfilm and the newspaper collection. We also have digitized quite a few of the newspapers, so that's available on our website as well. I do strongly recommend that, particularly if you're looking for newspaper articles. It's keyword searchable, so it can save you a lot of time. If you are looking for images, just for your own purposes, you can find it in the digital archive and then come in and look at the microfilm. So it helps to have both.
I mean, I will confess that Kentucky Room, this section on the website, it is, like, there's a lot of information.
I'm sure there is.
Page after page after page. And you could literally spend a whole day just researching from that section of our website. And,
that's good. I think that's good, but it can be overwhelming, and I understand that. And I have to caution I'm getting into this in-depth conversation about file, you know, formats and things. So.
But there's a lot.
It's nice, though, because chances are you're going to be able to find what you're looking for, so that's really good.
So let's go back, you and I discussed before this meeting that we have a special relationship with the University of Kentucky.
Oh, well, yeah, it's just the partnership with the Nunn Center. So, again, they came in and they helped us, you know, train and understand how to best do, like, best practices for oral histories, which, for me, with an anthropological background, making sure that we're doing these ethically is very important to me. You know, we talked a little bit about you know, the necessity of needing to preserve and make these accessible. But there's another element, you know, they got into really good training and how to work with the community members and things like that. So I very much appreciated Doug Boyd coming in and just talking to us about how to do that. They also talked to us about how to, there's another part of the process after the Nun Center accessions, the actual interview, and that is actually applying subject headings to it, you know, making it easier to find within their database. And so they've also helped us understand how to do that as well. So their help has really been invaluable.
Yeah.
I think it's really made all of the people who've worked in oral histories here, you know, stronger in that field. And I think it lends to a good quality for the histories that we've done.
That's awesome.
Final question here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I say on the paper.
We'll see.
Not supposed to tell them you have a cheat sheet.
Yeah, right? We'll see what we come up with after this.
So let's talk about archival donations.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah, so folks can donate items that, again, they own. To me, these could be, again, they could be their own genealogies that they've worked on, or sometimes it can be organizations that they want to make sure that it's preserved. And so you would want to get in contact with me, Julia, and there's a form that we have you fill out. And that whole process is incredibly important, because I can't tell you how many times I hear about organizational, and this could be, you know, a nonprofit or business or whatever, these kinds of important documents that are being stored in an attic or a basement, which is very bad for preserving the paper. So even if they don't want to, you know, even if you're wanting to hold on to those documents, I do recommend just kind of looking at where you're storing them. Again, we talked about looking at your digital documents quite a bit, but it's also true for your physical ones. Just make sure that they're being not folded and being
right.
kept in good condition. But yes, definitely, we also accept donations.
Yeah.
And I believe that it does help preserve, you know, the local history of this community. I mean, people think about, they think everything is on the internet. What they forget is that you can't, you know, guarantee longevity, and not everything is on the internet or easily accessible.
Yeah.
So that's in that you really see that when you're trying to get into the minutia of local history, you know, wherever you are. So it is incredibly important to still continue to do more traditional archiving, like just holding on to some papers.
So I want to reiterate that you touched upon it earlier, that when patrons come to Kentucky Room,
mm-hmm.
there are things that they can check out.
There are, I know. It's they exist. It is mostly referenced, so it can be a little frustrating, but it's marked with a K instead of a KR, and it's on the right side of the room. But also, if you're in a situation where, you know, all we have is the reference copy, you can still check in with me, because some of those items have been digitized and free online repositories, and I might be aware of them, so, or help you find them.
I mean, there's a reason why we want to try to keep them safe, right? I mean,
yes.
Very, very important documents.
Kind of irreplaceable.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And people, I think they forget also, books go out of print. So,
right.
You know, I very often run into books that you would think I would be able to find more of, but they're in that sweet spot where they're not so old that they've been digitized and freely available online, but they're old enough that they're not being published anymore, and those are the ones I'm really concerned about.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else you would like to share?
Oh, my gosh. You know, there's a lot of great things that happen within the Kentucky Room. I do, you know, want to remind folks we also partner with the Scott County Genealogical Society. They come in every other month with a volunteer to help folks with their genealogical research, just if they've hit a brick wall or they just want help getting started. We have lots of pathfinders, too, in the Kentucky Room. So I know it's overwhelming, right? But when you get in there, there's also just some instructions for certain kinds of research. If you're doing newspaper research, there's one in there. There's one for if you're really interested in working with Ann Bevin's material. And I believe we also have just, like, beginning best resources of the Kentucky Room, you know, the ones that people most often go to.
Right.
So I do encourage folks to, if you feel overwhelmed, look for those pathfinders and they can help, or grab a staff member.
Yeah, absolutely. Come see Julia.
Yeah.
And keep an eye on the calendar because there are several programs pretty often for genealogical programs and whatnot. So keep up with you for sure.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate you. We hope to have you back again.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back.
Yeah. We'll see you guys next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Beyond the Bookshelves is a public library podcast produced by the Scott County Public Library in Georgetown, Kentucky. Your hosts are marketing manager Minyoung Bowling and media coordinator Lucy Bell. Editing is done by the marketing team with special assistance from the technology department of Scott County Public Library. Our theme is Happy Day by Stock Audios on Pixabay Music. If you want to hear more about the Scott County Public Library, you can visit our website at www.scottpublib.org. Join us next time as we turn the page to Beyond the Bookshelves. See you next time.